He's told us what to do. If you have a Bible or a device with an app, you can read along with me, beginning with one verse in Proverbs chapter 4. And it is the 25th verse. It speaks to us where we are now, early, still early in this year. The wisest man who ever lived wrote these words, and it says, "Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you." Look straight ahead and fix your eyes. Look and fix your eyes. I'm speaking this morning on the subject, God's eye view. Now, this is an important instruction from God's Word for all of us early in the year, because we've already talked about dropping the baggage that we have drug from our past into the present as we move forward into the future. There is a time to hold on to a thing, and there's a time to let it go. So by now, on the 22nd day of this new year, we should have identified and taken some action on what to drop from our past. And at this point, our posture should be looking straight ahead of us and fixing our eyes on what lies before us. Now, as I've mentioned in the last week or two, at the turn of the year, as most of us do, we take advantage of the flipping of a page on a calendar to become new in some ways. Some people make resolutions. I don't anymore. But I do think it's an opportunity to hear a fresh word from God, marching orders as we move forward. Any adjustments in our life that need to be made, even a tweak here or there. And I actually hit the Lord up with a question just in my thought life. I said, "Lord, really? Is there going to be much difference in this new year? Or is it going to be like all the others before it? A year comes, a year goes, and really not a whole lot changes." And then the Lord gave me an explosive revelation. It's continuing to unfold. I shared a little bit about it last week when I mentioned that God's people, the children of Israel, were at the end of their 40-year wilderness wanderings. They had been in search of, for 40 years, in search of the promised land, that which God had promised them. Every year was like the one before it, for the most part. They were fed the same diet every day for those 40 years. But God eventually spoke to them as they neared the end of that season, and He was about to open up a brand new world for them. God spoke to them and said, "You have dwelt long enough at this mountain. You've stayed where you are long enough. It's time now to get up and move forward." But then the Lord said to them, just before they crossed over, "The Lord your God has blessed you, and here you are today." And we mentioned last week how already, before we get into the new year and the new thing God may have for us, we need to realize right here, right now, we're so very blessed. God said it this way to His children back then. He says, "The Lord has blessed you these 40 years. You have lacked nothing." And God has been so good to us already. If He never does anything more, He's done enough to deserve our eternal worship. Can you name one thing that God has not gotten you through? No, because He's brought you here today. And then we mentioned this. It was a word I had for Grayson Osborne. I gave it to him, but then it's such a good word. All of us can, I believe, milk it for all it's worth. And the word was this: you will never have a need that God will not meet. That's how much God is committed to blessing us. And I have always had a revelation, in part, of how blessed I am. I hope you have. We all are blessed. My favorite verse for life, Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who loads you down daily with his many benefits of salvation. And then there's that verse we've enjoyed, we've spoken it, declared it, we've worked with it all of our life. My God shall supply all your need. And then even in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we have learned if we will hear and obey God's word, we are blessed coming and we're blessed going. I've always enjoyed knowing one of the names of God is El Shaddai, the God who supplies more than enough. And can I even tell you, all my life, all of my adult life, I've been in the church, I've been in ministry, I've been around so many who preach a strong word on this point, and I've enjoyed every bit of it. I've always enjoyed the 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold blessing. Oh, that's a powerful blessing. The 100-fold. But now I've lived for many years thinking that the maximum God could bless me was the 100-fold. Until last week, I gave you the word in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 11. And it is Bible. It says, and may the Lord, the God of your ancestors, multiply you 1,000 times more. And bless you as he promised. When I read that, I thought, my God, even though 100-fold has worked just fine all my life, there is 1,000 times more God can bless me with. So it was a paradigm shift in my spirit. It's like I have the capacity to believe God for even greater things than ever now. If I can get a handle of this revelation in the Word of God concerning 1,000 times more blessing, then things can increase in my life and in yours exponentially. God is not through blessing us. He can bless us in ways we don't even know about yet. And then I mentioned last week, 1,000 times more blessed, not about money, lest we become greedy. I mean, money, I should respect it more, maybe. God, I don't know if that's funny or not. But where we really need it the most, God has 1,000 times more peace for our life. 1,000 times more direction for the steps we take. 1,000 times more productivity in our vocation, in our homes and on the job. 1,000 times more joy. 1,000 times more favor. 1,000 times greater influence. 1,000 times more unity and harmony and agreement in relationships, especially marriages. What would your life be like if all of a sudden you could step into 1,000 times more blessing? And God's word said, even in the old covenant, may the Lord God bless you 1,000 times more according as he has promised. And we're in the new covenant, and this one is better than the old one. And last week, as I called out the different areas of our life where God could bless us 1,000 times more, I mentioned one just simply in passing, and I put it to bed and let it rest, but it has begun stirring in me this week, and this is the one area in my life today where if I could choose one area to be 1,000 times more blessed, I would ask God for 1,000 times more understanding. Let me explain. Understanding is so critical and necessary spiritually. In the Bible, there is a cluster of 3 words many times: wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Now, we all know about wisdom and we all know about knowledge, but understanding is the bridge that connects the two. It is a cluster of 3, and understanding links wisdom and knowledge. You should Google sometimes how many times the word understanding is found in Scripture. These are just some of the references from Proverbs, just the book of Proverbs, just some of the verses that include the word understanding. We're instructed to know wisdom and to perceive words of understanding. The Bible says a man of understanding shall attain wisdom. We're instructed to incline our ear unto wisdom and apply our heart to understanding. A wise man cries after knowledge and lifts up his voice for understanding. Solomon said, "The Lord gives wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." That famous verse that we love so much and lean on so much, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding." The Bible says, a man that finds wisdom is the man that gets understanding. We're told to get wisdom, get understanding, and forget it not. Then we're told, and this puts a premium, makes it an ultimate priority, therefore get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. In everything you get, make sure you get understanding. Good understanding gives favor, Solomon said. The heart of the man that has understanding seeks after knowledge. A man of understanding walks uprightly. To get understanding is rather to be chosen than securing silver and gold. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that has it. A man of understanding is a man of an excellent spirit. Fools take no delight in understanding. And then there's this one. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. Have you ever been in a season in your life where you know the house is built? You can see it's been built, but things are just not right, and there is a failure in it being established just yet because enough understanding is not there. Let me shift gears quickly and give you a verse that adds revelation to the Proverbs verse. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. It's the story of Hagar and her son Ishmael, who was Isaac's son born of the flesh. Ishmael was the product of Abraham's flesh, his impatience and refusal to wait on God to give birth to Isaac, which would be born by the Spirit. So Abraham took Hagar, his handmaiden, and the two of them conceived and gave birth to Ishmael. Well, you know the story. Ishmael could stay in Abraham's house until Isaac was born. But the Bible says, when that which is perfect has come, that which is imperfect must leave. There is not enough room in Abraham's house for the spirit, Isaac, and the flesh, Ishmael. So the flesh had to be cast out of Abraham's house, and Hagar and Ishmael left Abraham's home and struggled to survive in the wilderness and in the desert. They had reached a place of death. After many days of wandering and now lost, they were hungry and thirsting to death. In fact, Hagar said to herself, "I cannot look at my son die, so I will look away. I don't want to see my son die of starvation and thirst." Literally, Hagar and Ishmael were facing death by dehydration. There was no water. I did some research online in the last couple of days about dehydration. Many people who are at the end of their life and under hospice care, that's what they're facing. And the human body can go without food for days and even weeks and still survive, but the human body cannot go without water very long at all. Where you see water, you see a sign of life. Where there is no water, there is no life in short order. Death by dehydration. And Hagar, the mother who loved her son Ishmael so much, she said, I cannot watch him die of thirst. I will look away. And then in Genesis chapter 21 and verse 9, it says this, then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. It's so important to have God's eye view, to be able to see from God's perspective this year, because in Hagar's case, the blessing she needed, a well full of water, was right there where she was. But she did not know it until God opened her eyes and she saw. The blessing was right there. She had just not seen it yet. And I'm saying to you, it's important that we have vision this year. It's important that we see with God's eyes this year. Or else we will miss a blessing we so desperately need, even though it's right here around us. It's very close by. We don't know it because we've not had our eyes opened yet. Vision is so very important. I like the verse of Scripture that says, without vision, the people perish. That's how important vision is. You'll die without vision. You'll die unless you have your eyes opened and see the blessing that you need to keep you alive another day. It's right there within hand's reach, but you don't know it yet because your eyes have not been opened and you don't have the vision to see what's right here close by. The provision of the Lord right here close by. I like Frank Harvey's paraphrase of that verse, where there is no vision, the people perish. He says it like this. Where there is no ongoing, progressive revelation of the will of God, people wander aimlessly without direction until they die. That's what happens when there is no vision, no revelation of the will of God. People wander aimlessly until they die. Now, vision is so important, and it was to Abraham, the father of our faith. God led him out into a vast space one day and said to Abraham, lift up your eyes and look in every direction, and I will give you as much as you can see. God has so much for us that we have not yet been positioned to receive simply because our eyes have not been opened and we don't see it. We've not looked straight ahead and fixed our eyes on the blessing that lies before us. We're distracted. Never has humanity suffered an era of history with more distractions than we have to deal with in our day. So many distractions to get our eyes off of the blessing God has for us. I'll give you all you can see. That's how important vision is. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is spiritually perceptive, your whole body will be full of light, benefiting from God's precepts. That's the Amplified Version, Jesus speaking. I had a friend, one of my dear friends. He's been in heaven now for probably 25 years. His name was Fred Williams. Many of you may remember Fred. Fred was a great singer, a great songwriter. He recorded many albums. He was just a great personality. He was blind. He went blind when he was 7 or 8 or 9 years old. He was born with sight but had a disease that gradually stole his eyesight. But you would never know he was handicapped. All of his life was blessed. He was in demand as a singer. He had a great music ministry. He had two businesses also. One was a piano tuning business, and he tuned pianos. Another business was a recording studio that he built and he owned, and he engineered recording sessions. Without the ability to see instruments and meters and gauges, he did it all with his ability to hear. And I loved Fred. I spent a summer in his home with him when I was a teenager and traveled the country with him. And not only was he just great in so many other ways, but in addition to that, he was just a lot of fun to be around. This memory just comes back to me right now. I'm going to go ahead and share it, even though I didn't plan to. Hadn't thought of it in a while, but I was in his home one night, and he and his wife, Ann, and we were sitting in the den, and he wanted some milk. And even though he was blind, you didn't need to take him by the hand and leave. He would find his way. So he got up and went to the refrigerator in the kitchen and took the gallon jug of milk out and opened it. And with his wife, Ann, and I'm watching, and he just takes that jug to, and he just drunk straight from that jug. And the whole time he was gulping the milk straight from the jug, his wife, Ann, was saying, "Fred, I've told you not to drink from the jug. Other people in this house might want some milk, and now you've got your mouth germs all over it." And he didn't let that stop him a bit. He just chugged that milk until he got all the milk he wanted. And when he finally got his fill of milk, he screwed the lid back on and he put the jug back in the refrigerator. And he said, "That milk tastes just like the cow had cancer in its bag." And I thought that was so funny. I just thought that was so funny. God. Wasn't it, Larry? You remember Fred, wasn't it? I apologize. I have a weird sense of humor. Before I attempt to tell another joke, I'm going to get Lawrence to share something about Lee County with me. But I mean, that was just Fred. He was just fun to be around. But I was talking with him one day. I said, "Fred, what's it like to be blind?" And we were talking, and he said something interesting to me. He said, "Carl, I don't remember any specific day that I lost my sight." He said, "It happened so gradually. And my other senses kicked in to compensate for the one sense of vision I was losing." He said, "I've wondered about that all my life. You would think somebody who was born with sight and grew up as a little boy being able to see and then now is blind, you would think he'd be able to look back and say, 'Oh, I remember the day I woke up and I couldn't see anymore.'" But he said, "I don't know of a particular day when that happened. The loss of vision sometimes is such a gradual thing, you don't know it when you're blind." And that's the problem with many believers today. We have the promise of God's blessing. Everything we need and 1,000 times more blessing is right around us, so very near. Our big problem is our eyes have not been opened that we can see. The blessing is right here with us. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 18 and 19, this is what God's Word says. Paul prayed this prayer for the church, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Listen to the powerful words here. that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now imagine, don't let these phrases pass you by. Let it hit you in the gut. God's word is saying that if the eyes of our understanding, if we could only see it and know it, the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us, and the exceeding greatness of his power. Just imagine if just 1,000 times more in those three categories were given to you. And it is. It's ours. It's been given to us. The problem is, if we have a problem, the eyes of our understanding have not been enlightened. The well full of water that keeps us alive another day is right here at us, but we're dying because we have not opened our eyes to see the well, as was Hagar's case. Now, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, and here's the truth about light. Light cannot be heard. It is silent. Light must be seen. Now, we don't depend on anything we see to build our faith. We're opposite from the world. The world says, seeing is believing. But we in the church know the opposite is true. Believing is seeing. We're saved by what we hear. Hearing and hearing the Word of God increases our faith. We're saved by faith. But after we have faith working for us, it is important that our eyes be opened on the journey so that we can see. And see great things like the hope of his calling, the riches and the glorious inheritance in us, and the greatness of his power toward us. All of that can be seen, and it must be seen. Now, there's wisdom, and there's understanding, and there's knowledge. We need spiritual understanding so that we can benefit from the many blessings God has. Here's the option. Here's what happens when you are not able to see and you have no spiritual understanding or perception. When you're denied God's perspective. When you are not enjoying the benefit of God's eye view. Ephesians 4:18. Speaks about people who fall short of that. It says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Now, I don't like any of those words. Horrible. Understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God, ignorance, blindness of heart. We don't have to live our life like that. Yet many believers live right there. The quality of their life is no better than the world because their understanding is darkened. They are living as if they've been alienated from the life of God. We should be filled with the life of God and enjoying all the benefits that come with that. We shouldn't be ignorant of that. And we should not be dealing with blindness in our heart. Now, Luke 24 and verse 45 says Jesus opened the understanding of his disciples that they might comprehend the scriptures. Now, they had been raised in the temple. They had heard the rabbis and the teachers in the temple expound on Old Testament scriptures, and yet they could not understand them. Imagine being in church all your life, hearing scripture all your life, and not having understanding of the promises of God that come with it until your understanding is opened. Jesus opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Now, so much benefit God has for us. So many blessings right around us. And we make the mistake of thinking, oh, it's not here, it's somewhere else. How many people have moved from one city to another, one state to another, one job to another, one wife to another, one husband to another? Oh, did I say that? I didn't mean to say that. Some had to. I will give you. Some had to. In order to get the full blessing of the Lord, it seems like some had to. But in many cases, the blessing of the Lord is available right where you are. It's like that well of water. It's right here. You just haven't seen it yet. You've not had your eyes opened by God to see His provision right here. Hagar and Ishmael were dying. So close to death, she said, I don't want to watch him take his last breath. I will look away. Can't stand the thought of watching my son die like this. I will look away. And she was squinting her eyes when God opened them. She was closing her eyes so she wouldn't see one thing, and God opened her eyes so that she could see what she needed to see for life. And it was right there where she was. God didn't have to dig a well. God didn't have to move her to a well. God just had to reveal to her the well that was right there that would save her life and Ishmael's life. I remember in the journey of this church, and now 30 years ago, we were in search of property. We were in search of a building, and we couldn't buy it. We had to rent it. And we had a small congregation back then. Some of you were there. Some of you have been here all along. Others of you are new, and we're glad you are. But back in those smaller days, we were out of a building, 6 months old as a church, and the building we were in had sold, and we had no choice but to get out. And we had looked for 3 weeks all over Florence for a suitable building we could rent that would accommodate church services. Couldn't find it. We were desperate. Desperate. And it was a Tuesday morning, and I had 5 days before Sunday to find a building to announce to our small congregation back then where our next service would be. The pressure was on. I had exhausted every option, I thought. I had driven all over town looking for buildings. It used to be a nightclub, used to be this or that. I thought, well, no, that's not perfect. It won't work. Nothing opened. And on that Tuesday, feeling the pressure and the deadline quickly approaching, and I was praying in my car, riding around, looking for a building. And the Lord gave me this word. He said, son, I don't have to build this building for you. It's already built. All I've got to do is reveal to you where it is. I felt so much better knowing he didn't have to build a building in 5 days. That was such a fresh wind of hope and a gush of faith renewed in me. I was almost about to give up when I heard that word. I don't have to build a building. It's already built. All I have to do is reveal to you where it is. Revelation is a powerful thing. We had no cell phones back then. I found the nearest payphone I could find, put a quarter in it, called Brenda at home. She knew I was out trying to find a church building. 5 days left. I called her and I said, the Lord just spoke to me and said, he didn't have to build us a building. It's already built. All he has to do is reveal to us where it is. So get in the Yellow Pages. Anybody remember the Yellow Pages? Get in the Yellow Pages, start with the A's, and go all the way from A to Z and call every realtor in Florence and ask, do you know of any building available that would be suitable for church services? The very first one she called was Alpha Omega Realty. For you Greek scholars, that means something. Alpha, I said call from A to Z. Alpha, Omega. That's Greek, A to Z. And he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. She got a realtor on the other line, and he said, immediately when she asked, do you know of any buildings in Florence that are available that would be suitable for church services? And the gentleman on the other end said, yeah, I think I've got just the perfect one. I'll be glad to show it to you this afternoon. So Brenda and I went to his office, got in his car, and he drove us to the building and gave it to us free as long as we wanted to use it. And we were there for 2.5 years and didn't pay any rent at all while we were there. I'm telling you, understanding and spiritual perception and being able to see everything God has in His sight for us, that's critical for us this year. We must be able to see the blessing of the Lord. It's right here near us. It's right here close by. We don't have to leave here and go somewhere else to find it all the time. Most of the time, God brings it to us. He's just that good. The problem may be our eyes are not opened. We don't have understanding. We're not enjoying heaven's perspective. We don't have God's eye view. We have our limited view of things. I'm going to close with this verse of Scripture in the Gospel of John. I'll set the stage. It was after the crucifixion and the resurrection. Jesus had not yet ascended back to heaven. The disciples had decided they would go fishing. So several of the disciples got in the boat and went out to sea fishing. And they fished. And Jesus walked up on the shore, and obviously he was within earshot of the boat the disciples were in. And Jesus called out, have y'all caught anything? And they said, no, we fished for quite a while and we've not caught a thing. And then in John's Gospel, chapter 21 and verse 6, it says this, and Jesus said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. That to me sounds like 1,000 times more blessed. Fished all night, not caught a thing. They go from that, not caught a thing, to the net is so full of fish, we can't even haul the net in for the multitude. That sounds to me like 1,000 times more blessed. But now listen. The multitude of fish were right under the boat the whole time. And they were fishing. All they needed was one word of instruction. The right side. Cast it over on the right side. Just one word of instruction. A small adjustment, and they obeyed it. And they went from zero blessing on that fishing trip to 1,000 times more, just with one simple word. And the miracle to me is God kept the fish right there under the boat. They were probably banging and clanging and carrying on and making. I would have been so frustrated. I'd have been saying things. I would have scared the fish away. I'm sure I would have. The fish would have been scared to hang around the bottom of my boat by then. But God kept the blessing right there under them. They were standing on top of the blessing right then and were not able to see it. And they heard one simple word of instruction. Hey, these are the days when we should listen and we should see. We should listen for an instruction and then open our eyes and see. The blessing was right under them all the time. And that's the way many of us are right here.